From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Health facilities strengthened to tackle acute hepatitis in children. People's Consultative Assembly supports cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea. Now the news in detail. The Ministry of Health is strengthening healthcare facilities to deal with cases of acute hepatitis of unknown origin in children. The ministry is working to strengthen health service facilities with referral hospitals to handle severe acute hepatitis cases such as at the Sulianti Saroso Infectious Disease Hospital in Jakarta. Spokesperson for the Health Ministry, Siti Nadia Tarmizi, on Friday, as quoted by Antara, said that efforts to strengthen health facilities in all regions are a strategic step taken by the government to prevent the spread of acute hepatitis. People's Consultative Assembly Chairman Bambang Susatyo encouraged Indonesia's government to increase bilateral cooperation with South Korea for Indonesia's new national capital city construction in East Kalimantan and the Indonesian presidency program in G20. As reported by Antara, Bambang Susatyo in a statement on Friday explained that Indonesia's trade with South Korea in 2021 was valued at about $18 billion. It is hoped that in 2022, the value of trade between Indonesia and South Korea would continue to increase. We move to the Indonesian government that continues to take precautionary measures to handle the peak of the 2022 8 homecoming reverse flow by readying a plethora of scenarios for traffic management. As reported by Antara on Friday, Deputy 1 of the Presidential Chief of Staff, Febri Calvin Tetelepta, stated that the peak of the 8 homecoming return flow was forecast to occur from Friday to Sunday. The last national news comes from the Jakarta International Stadium, which is worthy of hosting world football matches, including the World Cup final. Jakarta Deputy Governor Ahmad Riza Patria said through his Instagram account, as quoted by Antara, that the Jakarta International Stadium or JIS was equipped with supporting facilities such as a seating capacity of 82,000 and a retractable roof. Now we move to the international news. Group of seven or G7 leaders will hold talks with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Sunday, May the 8th, after the U.S. President Joe Biden earlier this week said they would discuss possible additional actions in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, White House's National Security Council stated the talks will focus on war's latest developments, efforts to bolster Ukraine, and ways to demonstrate continued G7 unity in collective response. Next, China is setting up thousands of permanent PCR testing stations, with 9,000 already completed in Shanghai alone, as authorities seek to normalize tough pandemic controls even after the current round of lockdowns end. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, at present nearly 25 million residents in the eastern financial hub of Shanghai remain under some form of lockdown as the city battles China's biggest ever coronavirus outbreak. I'll end the news with at least 18 people have died and more than 60 have been hospitalized after a massive explosion rocked one of Cuba's most exclusive five-star hotels. As reported by BBC.com, according to local officials, the blast at the Saratoga Hotel in Old Havana on Friday, May the 6th, appears to have been caused by a gas leak. Search and rescue operations are currently underway to locate people trapped under the debris. That was news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I, Eddie Ivan, the Director of West of Indonesia, would like to say happy Eid Mubarak to our listeners all over the world. May these special days bring peace, happiness, and open all the doors of success now and always for us. And let this holy occasion be a remarkable milestone for West of Indonesia and our listeners to be closer in the future. Happy Eid Mubarak. Minal aidin wal faizin. Wassalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
News from across the country. The first news comes from Karimun Regency, Riau Islands. Thousands of visitors packed the 2022 Idul Fitri Beach Party at the Batu Limau tourist attraction in Ungar District, Karimun Regency, Riau Islands Province last Wednesday. The beach party in Batu Limau Village is usually held annually to enliven Idul Fitri, but in the last 2 years, it could not be held due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The chairman of the Batu Limau Beach Party Committee, Amir, said the activity was enthusiastically welcomed by residents because there had been no entertainment in Batu Limau Village due to the pandemic in these last 2 years. The crowds of visitors also have an impact on the economy of culinary traders at the Batu Limau tourist attraction because their wares were sold out. The Batu Limau tourist attraction has various rocks that resemble objects or humans, such as ships, stones, crystal stones, mortar stones, to cubical stones or rooms. The next news comes from West Ram Regency, Maluku Province. The Water Putri Bathing Attraction or Air Putri Waiyoho in Waiyoho Hamlet, West Ram Regency, Maluku Province, was flooded with thousands of visitors on Idul Fitri plus one day or May the 3rd, 2022. One of the officers, Las Salim, said last Wednesday that such crowds would continue to be encountered until D plus 7. Air Putri Waiyoho is a well-known tourist attraction among the people of Maluku because the water in Air Putri is very cold like ice. And it is very special in a tropical country like Indonesia. Now, Air Putri visitors have been facilitated with several shelter houses and changing rooms. The latest news comes from Riau Province. The wife of the governor of Riau, Ms. Narni Shamsuar, and entourage departed from the international passenger terminal of PT Pelindo 1 Dumai Thursday morning in a maiden voyage to the state of Malacca, Malaysia. The delegation was released by the governor of Riau, Shamsuar, with the head of the Malaysian consulate in Pekanbaru, Wan Nur Shima Wan Yusof. When the group arrived at the international port Malacca State, the reception was no less lively. The Minister of Travel, Heritage and Culture of the State of Malacca, Datuk Muhammad Jailani bin Kamis, immediately welcomed the passengers. All passengers are garlanded with flowers as a form of respect. The event marked the reopening of the Dumai International Seaport. Tickets for the Malacca-Dumai cruise route are reportedly sold out. Malaysians are also very enthusiastic about visiting Riau. This port was closed for approximately 2 years due to the COVID-19 outbreak. However, along with the sloping down of COVID-19 cases, the government has begun to relax the rules, including granting return shipping permits for the Dumai International Seaport. Well, that was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with the event on May 7, 1945, when Germany surrendered to the Allies. On May 7, 1945, Germany surrendered to the Allies in the Second World War in Europe. The surrender was to end the Second World War in Europe, and the surrender of Germany was marked by the signing of the Instrument of Agreement in Karlsruhe, Berlin, between representatives of the German troops and the Allied Expeditionary Forces with the High Command of Red Forces, as well as the additional representative of France and the United States. The signing procession began in Reims on May 7, then on May 8 it is known as European Victory Day, while in former Soviet countries, Victory Day is commemorated on May 9. Now let's move to another event on May 7, 1949 about the signing of the Roemrooyen Agreement. The Roemrooyen Agreement was an agreement between Indonesia and the Netherlands which began on April 14, 1949 and was finally signed at the Des Indes Hotel in Jakarta on May 7, 1949. The name of the agreement was taken from the two leaders of the delegation, Muhammad Roem and Herman van Rooyen. This meeting aimed at resolving several issues regarding Indonesian independence. The negotiations of the agreement were so tough so that it required the presence of Bung Hatta from exile in Bangka, as well as the 9th Sultan Hamengkubuwono from Yogyakarta to affirm the attitude of the 9th Sultan Hamengkubuwono towards the government of the Republic of Indonesia in Yogyakarta, where Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX said Yogyakarta is the Republic Indonesia, or Yogyakarta is the Republic of Indonesia. We end today in history with the event of May 7, 1992, when Space Shuttle Endeavour was launched. A Space Shuttle Endeavour belonging to the U.S. Space Agency's NASA fleet was launched. Endeavour is NASA's fifth and last spacecraft. After about 19 years of operation, the Endeavour finally completed its flight on June 1, 2011. Then Endeavour landed at the Kennedy Space Center and was subsequently donated to the California Science Center in Los Angeles. Well, listener, that's today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩, 保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des Covid-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Bahagia kalau bisa mempertahankan dirinya. Ini kisah tentang dia, dia mantanku yang lama. Dia pernah bilang cinta, tetapi tergoda yang lainnya. Sedih pun tak ada. Oh, 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 oh. Ingatkah bersama kita dulu pernah bahagia. Sedih pun tak ada. Apa kabar mantan? Di manakah sekarang? Tahukah dirimu aku rindu sayang. Apakah akhirnya kau temukan bahagia? Kalau belum maka mending balik aja. Apa kabar mantan? Di manakah sekarang? Tahukah dirimu aku rindu sayang. Apa kabar mantan? Ingatkah kau padaku yang kita lakukan tiap malam minggu? Masukkah hari ini kau ingat padaku lagi?
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia describes success in awakening tourism at the UN Forum. Indonesia is currently the world's reference in handling the COVID-19 pandemic and its success in revitalizing the tourism sector after 2 years of being hit by the pandemic. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno stated this in his speech at the high-level thematic debate on Tourism Forum held by the United Nations General Assembly Hall, New York, United States last Wednesday, May the 4th. Quoting a press release from the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, the minister said Indonesia received appreciation and became a reference in handling the COVID-19 pandemic and the revival of tourism. He explained that Indonesian tourism is based on quality, community-based, and sustainable tourism. According to Sandiaga Uno, this is the pillar of Indonesia's economy revival, which supports the creation of business opportunities and opens the widest possible employment. He said when talking about sustainable tourism, there must be concrete actions. And one of them is Indonesia's offer to turn plastic waste into a nature-based solution. Delivering his presentation at the United Nations, Sandiaga Uno also showed a concrete solution that Indonesia did to overcome environmental issues, namely purun-based straws. Purun is a type of puzzle grass that has straight, hollow stems and no leaves, making it an effective substitute for plastic straws. Sandiaga Uno said that what must be realized immediately with this statement at the UN General Assembly is in line with the G20 and Indonesia's role as the host. In the world tourism sector, the government will continue to encourage economic revival, create business and job opportunities. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno explained, together with President Joko Widodo, he is preparing a new tourism economic order that is more open and equitable. According to him, this must be focused on and Indonesia takes a strategic position, a position as a country that becomes a reference for all regions in the world in handling the COVID-19 pandemic and the revival of tourism. In his presentation, Sandiaga Uno also said that it was important for every country to change the concept of a more sustainable tourism industry. He said the development of a sustainable tourism sector must not only look at environmental issues or environmental welfare, but it must also promote the dignity of local culture, society, and traditional knowledge, and create a balance between mass tourism and quality tourism. He explained, as part of the Government of Indonesia's effort to build a strong and sustainable tourism sector, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy will focus on advancing tourism recovery through strengthening the role of the community as agents of change in tourism transformation. He said, with Tourism Village program, Indonesia integrates local accommodation, attraction, and complements each other under the coordination of the village government wrapped in local wisdom. According to Sandiaga Uno, the Tourism Village program has proven to be able to improve the living standards of rural communities, as seen in the Penglipuran Tourism Village in Bali, which generated more than $1.45 million in income in 2020. Well, that was my Indonesia Today.
Metanoia jadi gora sewaktu tertidur di hujan peluru bertubi-tubi rasa salah dosa memburu di tengah gemuruh ombak menerpa ku putuskan berlutut lalu rebah kau datang untuk hapuskan rasa resah segala badai ombak hidup lalu rebah That's why I'm grateful. Grace overwhelming, my God is able to transform me like Optimus Prime. There is no turning back again this time. Yes.
Yeah.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back again to me, Ahmad Faisal, in Indonesian Wonder. Today, I would like to introduce Lamang Tapai, one of the typical dishes of Idul Fitri Day in Padang, West Sumatra. Listener, besides being famous for its culinary, Rendang Padang, which is located in the province of West Sumatra, has also various menu for breaking the fast and also on Idul Fitri Day. One of them is Lamang Tapai. Amid lots of fast foods, this traditional food made from sticky rice and given a black sticky rice sauce or Lamang Tapai is still the best choice during Idul Fitri Day and also at the time of breaking the fast. Listener, this Padang food is made of white sticky rice that is burnt and served completely with tapai made of black sticky rice. The process of making lamang tapai is very traditional and unique. To make a lamang, it needs a young bamboo. After washing it, the white glutinous rice is mixed with coconut milk and pandan leaves and given a little salt. Afterwards, the rice is put into a young bamboo whose inside part is first coated with banana leaves. Then it is poured coconut milk into it, then burn it. Besides, it must be burned carefully, so don't let the bamboo segments burn. Listener, for the soup, tapai is made from steamed black sticky rice sprinkled with yeast that has been crushed to a powder, then covered with banana leaves. Please leave it for 3 days in a dry place until it becomes black sticky rice. Lamang was tasteful and sweet, mixed with a little sour taste. Lamang tapai also emits a distinctive aroma that is appetizing. Lamang tapai, which is usually served people as a menu on Idul Fitri Day or breaking the fast, is also often found on other religious holidays and traditional celebrations of the local people. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. Hello, VOI listener. Welcome back to miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. Listener, the Demographic Institute at the Faculty of Economics and Business, University of Indonesia, held a webinar themed Population Dynamics in the Post-Pandemic Era and its Recovery Effort, to build synergy to find solutions together. This webinar was held in response to various challenges that emerged after the COVID-19 pandemic, including the increase in the unemployment rate, inequality in access to health services, learning loss, inequality in access to technology in the education sector, and technological disruption that threatens workers. This webinar featured speakers from the National Development Planning Agency, or BAPENAS, the National Population and Family Planning Agency, or BKKBN, the Directorate General of Population and Civil Registration, or Dukcapil, and the Planning, Development, Research and Development Agency, or BAPEDA, of West Java, DKI Jakarta, and Banten provinces. In this webinar, the participating institutions were given the opportunity to describe the problems that arose and the steps they had taken to address these problems. Like the National Population and Family Planning Agency, or BKKBN, its data states that population problems which have emerged after the pandemic are limited access to health services, such as access to birth services and the need for family planning programs, especially in the eastern Indonesia. In addition, the increase in unwanted pregnancies and the high number of illegal abortions, maternal infant mortality rates, and stunting also add to the series of problems in the population sector. The steps taken have also shown cooperation from various different sectors, namely by involving partners from various parties such as the National Military, or TNI, and midwives to improve family planning services that had stalled and improve various health facilities. Besides health services, the COVID-19 pandemic also has an impact on the quality of human resources. This can be seen from the increase in the number of people with insufficient income and unemployment. However, the effects of the pandemic have also created a lot of creativity in various circles. To overcome this issue, several regions have made breakthroughs, such as the Planning, Development, Research and Development Agency, or BAPEDA, of DKI Jakarta Province, designed a digital ecosystem optimization program through the creation of creative economic jobs. Meanwhile, the Deputy Representative for Population and Employment at the National Development Planning Agency, or BAPENAS, Hairuniza Fitriani, SOS MSP, stated, "Improving the quality of human resources is the key to the demographic bonus. This can be achieved through the involvement of industry in the development of vocational education and the expansion of employment opportunities that are adaptive to technological changes. Investment in human resources accompanied by the development of a pension system and long-term financial products, as well as increasing health insurance, and improving nutrition have also played a role in improving the quality of Indonesian human resources." Head of the Demographic Institute, Faculty of Economics and Business, University of Indonesia, Dr. Abdillah Ahsan, hopes that the Population Forum can initiate collaboration of various stakeholders in the formulation of synergistic policies so that the existing challenges can be addressed properly. This is the real manifestation of the Demographic Institute Faculty of Economics and Business University of Indonesia in contributing to the development of population policies both in the provincial and district and city governments. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Kau yang bangunkanku dari mimpi burukku, kau hangatkan hatiku yang dulu sempat membeku. Kau yang lelapkanku dari masa laluku, kau katakan padaku hanya aku di hatimu. Tadinya ku berpikir engkaulah untukku, tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, oh, oh. Kau yang lelapkan aku dari masa laluku, kau katakan padaku hanya aku di hatimu. Tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Bandar Jakarta by Toto Salmon. Bandar Jakarta is an original keroncong song which tells about Jakarta City and not about the splendor of the metropolitan city, but elevates another side of Jakarta City. The song also describes the beautiful coastal atmosphere of Jakarta, which is protected by Pulau Seribu, which means Thousand Island. The wind that blows, the fishing boats, and the birds that want to return to their nest are all the natural images of the beautiful coast of Jakarta City at dusk. The song is sung by Toto Salmon very well, so as to convey the message of the songwriter, Ismail Marzuki. Alright listener, here is Toto Salmon with the keroncong song entitled Bandar Jakarta.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program. Thank you.